Yeah.
She changed her mind.
Sharon's gonna do one anyway.
You can play on this one.
I'm gonna do this song for Karen. She asked me to do this after she got here this morning, so I always try to do, you know, what the Lord wants me to do.
Hey, man.
What people wants me to do, and I'm just glad to be here today.
Yeah.
And y'all remember Elaine's brother, the one who was here last Sunday with her.
Yeah.
He's in ICU and on a ventilator. He's got pneumonia. Said he was really bad. So she said this morning, said he was wanting to see his son, which hadn't seen in several years. Of course, he can't talk, but he was motioning for them to get a hold of his son, and said he felt like that God was calling him home. So just keep him in prayer.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our services here is based on singing and based on testimony. And I don't know how many of you listened to the testimony services last Sunday or not, but there was a young lady stood up back here and she made the statement. She said, I felt God when I pulled up out in the parking lot.
I did.
Well, thank you, Lord Jesus, for meeting here.
Amen.
You know, it is very important that we feel God when we go into it.
Amen, Brother Ed.
Brother Ed was teaching in Sunday school there this morning. We have to keep focused on what's going on in our church.
Yes.
What's going on out in the world? We forget that when we come in here.
That's right.
We got a picture Jesus Christ in front of us when we're in the service.
That's right.
But it was really good to hear her say, I felt God when I pulled up in the parking lot. She said, I hadn't even made it to the building. I felt God.
She felt God in here too. I seen her tear up over there. I just want to give her a hug. Amen. Hallelujah.
And I just thank God for meeting here with us each Sunday.
Amen, Brother Ed. Boy, you can't put a price on that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
finish our journey. It'll end up in a place called the Joy of the Lord. I'm looking forward to the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, Brother Fishback said Sunday, he said, man, y'all got so much talent in this church. He said, it's unreal. He said, y'all are just thank the good Lord for that.
Yeah.
Oh, we do. We do.
That's right.
Can we do this in C or G?
This is a beautiful song, too, because the you know,
because
we won't have to worry no more.
That's right, Sister Sharon. Last night in prayer meeting before they sang this song, there was a man there, health declining. And he said, well, at least I won't have to worry no more. And I thought about this song when he said that. Come to my mind immediately. I'm glad we've got songs that kind of minister to us. And,
right.
And what he said was true. But that song really does a good job of saying it. Bless the Lord. Amen.
I want to thank the Lord this morning for the talent in our church.
Amen.
Preacher, the good friends.
Hey, man. Yeah.
You go to a lot of churches, you know.
Bless you, brother.
That's
right. Boy, God is truly blessed.
We started coming to this church, visiting different churches.
Yeah. Bless
you. And we love this church.
Hey, man. Hallelujah.
Beautiful song right here on Duke for y'all.
Bless you,
brother. Got me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you. Everybody else, I've enjoyed it thus far. I thought about Brother Gary Fraser when the girls sung I Won't Have to Worry anymore. I was kind of hoping Brother Danny would sing that song I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone. I didn't know what he was going to sing. But I will tell you this, we're all in a journey and it's just going so far.
Yeah, that's right.
There'll be a day that it'll be. And the Lord said, "Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." I want it to end just like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to step out of the sorrows here. Carolyn, bless her heart, you raise the hand up while they're singing. Yeah. I won't have to worry anymore.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, I was just like her. I was sitting there thinking about my granddaughter. She turned 16. She just got her permit. I'm sitting there worrying about her and others, especially me. Drive on the road with a 16-year-old just learning how to drive. But you won't have to worry no more. And we won't have to cross Jordan no more.
Right.
There'll be somebody to meet us.
Amen.
And to guide us that day. Mm-hmm. You know, I praise God for the good homecoming service. Last Sunday, Brother Charles Fish, I know what I know.
Yeah.
He preached, I know what I know. And well, it's good to know. It's good to know you're saved. The Bible said, know you not. Whether you be in Christ or not. That's one thing good to know. That you're saved. It's good to know you. Sinned on the blood.
Yeah.
Good to know your name's in the book. Good to know you got a home. up there in heaven. That's good.
That's right.
Man, I appreciate that message he preached. And being a preacher myself, I was kind of wondering which direction he was going to go in that. And praise God, I like it. It's good. We got it on the internet. And we got the last part of the three-part message today that I told you I was preaching on mental illness.
Yeah.
I got a pretty good idea why the Lord waited this long for me to preach this last part. But we'll take our text out of Mark again, chapter 5. I am going to comment somewhat out of Luke. I need to turn that off.
It's messing with my pages here.
All right. I have enough problems without chasing these pages down. But we're going to read these 20 verses again out of Mark chapter 5. I'll read them as quick as I can. I'm going to comment more on the verses today. We just read the text of the last time, and we'll speak more about the verses today. Starting in verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, talking about Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, boy, I like just them words right there.
Yeah.
But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him.
Yeah.
And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, which and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord have done for thee and have had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. We'll stop or read him right there. I'm preaching today. I'll preach first of all sexual mental illness. Thirdly, spiritual mental illness. I'm preaching today on self mental illness. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, how it is truly a lamp unto our path, Lord, align unto our feet that we can find in it all the help that we need. Lord, I pray you'll help us to give the most earnest heed to your word, lest at any time we let it slip. May your word today, I pray, be the heavenly manna, Lord, for the hour we're living in. Lord, I look around and I see, Lord, all kind of evidence of what we're going to be preaching about today. Give us, I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit's anointing. Give us a clarity of thought. Give us, Lord, I pray, a voice, Father, Lord, to sound out today, Father, the great truths, Lord, from this Word of God. We'll give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, we'll ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Ed, I don't know if the air's on back there or not, but I see some fans are working. If you don't care, check that air out there. Like I said, we started out with sexual mental illness. I just want to recap a little bit on the sexual and the spiritual mental illness. A young girl, her mother gave her to her boyfriend, and the young girl ended up pregnant. They gave the young girl a morning after pill, and it didn't work, so they made the young girl drink turpentine, and they put the young girl in the hospital. Then it was found out just exactly what they'd done to the young girl, and they removed the young girl from that home and put her in another home. But I want you to know, no mother in their right mind would allow that for their children. I got a phone call on the way up here this morning from Brenda Galt concerning Gary, her son. I will say this about Brenda. She's a good mother. But the mother of the girl that delivered her to the hands of her boyfriend had lost her natural affection. She had not become her daughter's mother. She had become an accomplice to allow her daughter to be abused, to be molested, to end up being pregnant, and almost kill her by forcing her to drink turpentine. I just want you to know there's a lot of people out there that are sick in the head.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want you to know a lot of things are going on today. We ought to be alarmed. We ought to be awake. We ought to be, I'm telling you, sounding out the trumpet on some of this stuff. But this sexual mental illness is taking over in our country.
That's right.
I'm looking at America. Y'all probably don't look like I do, but I see where they're compromising standards. Not only are they compromising standards, but they're rewriting the laws to allow certain things.
That's right.
October the 5th in Somerset, Kentucky, there's going to be a thing. Let me make sure I get this right. I don't want to misquote. There's going to be an event. It's a gay pride event called the Chill Out and Pride Festival, October the 5th. Now that ought not be sold, but it's not going to catch a strange for the hour we're living in, because one of the signs of the Lord's coming was it was going to be like the days of Lot.
Yeah.
In the days of Lot, there was sexual perversion. And we're seeing in our day the same thing, just like God said it would be. They would leave the natural and go to the unnatural and perverted, and their minds are reprobate, and they don't see nothing wrong with it. And the reason they don't see nothing wrong with it, because it don't want nothing to do with the Word of God. They don't want nothing to do with the church. If they come in the house of God, they know better. But they don't come in because the Bible says men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. They just won't come. They won't learn, but one day they'll learn, brother.
That's right.
It'll be too late, but they'll learn.
Yes.
Amen.
God's ways are right. That Chill Out and Pride Festival, that ought not be, but it's taking place. How's it taking place, brother? Well, they got laws now to accommodate that.
That's right.
See, they get a permit. And by the way, there's going to be some preachers up there, and they're going to say God's got a better plan.
That's right.
God's got a better play. They're going to try to do it a nice way. I probably don't need to be there. I probably wouldn't be nice. But anyway, I'll be preaching against it like I am right now.
Yeah.
But you know, most people, you can take a poll, and most people would say, I just don't see nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Well, without the Bible, I wouldn't see nothing wrong with it neither.
Right, right.
But the Bible calls it an abomination.
That's what it is.
The Bible calls it reprobate.
That's what it is.
It causes it, you know, perverting the right ways of God and going the ways of Satan, really what it is. Taylor Swift, she's got a new song, and I have a lot of respect for Taylor because she didn't get muddied up in politics. She never would say who she voted for or nothing, not like Katy Perry, her friend, that come out with that big, no telling what that gown cost. Madam President had on the back of it. Look, I ain't going to get in politics myself, but I had a lot of respect for Taylor Swift until just here lately. Here lately, she's fell from what I'd call the standard that I had admiration for. She's come out with a song called You Need to Calm Down. I'll just tell you right now, when God comes down, it ain't going to be calm.
That's right.
It's going to be chaos.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to understand, buddy, that God rules in the affairs of men.
Right.
And there wasn't 10 suggestions. There was 10 commandments. And he gave them to man to help man, and man better heed them. Because I'll tell you right now, God's coming down, and they're not going to calm down. They're going to run plumb out of their shoes when God comes down.
Right.
Just this week, I heard, I'll give you a heads up here. Just this week, I heard yesterday on Lee Watts' radio program, I don't remember what day it was this week, but it's called Constitution Day. Lee Watts, he's a Christian advocate up in Lexington, but he's kind of a watchdog over what goes on. And he kind of reports it out over the radio. If you pay attention, you'll see what's going on. Scary a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was talking about the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. And the 13th Amendment is about giving slaves their freedom. 100% of Republicans voted for their freedom. About one third of the Democrats voting for their freedom. I'm not being political here, just telling you facts. The next amendment, number 14, was to give them their citizenship. Now, the Republicans fell a little bit right there. I think he said 94% of Republicans voted to give the slaves citizenship in the United States. Guess how many Democrats voted to give them citizenship?
Zero.
And you think the way they kind of play the music today, the statistics today, you'd think the Democrats was the savior of the black community. Zero voted to give the slaves citizenship. Zero. That's pretty low on the poll.
Yeah.
I just want to throw that out there real quick. You know, you listen, you learn, you try to communicate. I bet you that's not known very well. But he mentioned that yesterday in his program. But that Chill Out and Pride Festival, that ought not be so. That song Taylor wrote, You Need to Calm Down, ought not be so neither. I'm off of the spiritual, the sexual, I'm on the spiritual now.
Right.
Let me just say this about, by the way, Kim Davis is being sued for taking a stand against same-sex unions.
Yeah.
And they say they can sue her now that she's out of office. She don't have protection because of being an elected official. So now she's vulnerable. Well, let me just say this about Kim Davis. At least she stood. And for what it's worth, they came all the way from California to Kentucky to get married. There's something wrong with that right off the bat.
Right, that's right.
I mean, it looks to me like they come to seek a quarrel. And you know, the quarrel was with Kentucky because Kentucky wouldn't sanction same-sex unions. But anyway, let's get off of that. Let me get on the spiritual mental illness real quick. I wouldn't go to hell for any religion. And some are going due to this spiritual insanity. They fall into the category of don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't want to talk about what they believe.
No, they don't.
They don't want to get in a discussion about it because they know they ain't got no ground.
Right, right.
They're not on the solid rock. They're on the sand. The storm's going to come one day, and great's going to be the fall of it, but they don't care.
Nah,
it's almost like politics.
Amen.
They had a protest one time, Brother Mitchell, and there's a bunch of people up there protesting, and a reporter went over and said, "What are you protesting?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "What do you mean you don't know?" They just said, "Meet out here." Mm-hmm. Well, they're kind of like that in this spiritual insanity. They don't know what they believe. They're just following some. You know that Jim Jones guy? All that bunch was following him, and they drank the Kool-Aid, and they died.
Amen.
You better be careful who you follow. That spiritual insanity is terminal.
Yes.
All right, let's get on our message today. Like I said, I'm going to comment more on these scriptures today. This man, he didn't start out like this. He may have been raised right. His mama may have took him to the house of God. You know, the Bible does say train up a child in the way he should go when he's old enough to part. He may have actually been raised right, taught right. But something happened. Because he ain't his right mind now. You know, a lot of peer pressure out there. I'm sure Caden and Tegan can probably relate this a little bit.
That's right.
At school, somebody says, "Try this." He said, "I don't want my dad." "Oh, come on, you big coward. Try this."
Right.
You know, "I dare you," and all that. And, you know, it was that way when I was in school, man. I'd be with y'all, but "I dare you do this, dare you do that." Man, they make a fool out of you for doing it.
That's right.
And you'll wear a gag and say, "What was that?" Well, that may have happened with this guy. I don't know. Something happened that he ended up in the condition he's in.
That's right.
You know what? If you don't do something, you can end up in the same condition that this man here was in.
Amen.
I'm kind of glad that I actually waited this long to preach this last message, Brother Mitchell.
We need to hear
some of the events that I went through this week have convinced me some of the scriptures in the Bible were more correct than I even realized. I know we're saved by grace. I know we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God unto redemption, but I'll tell you what, some of the verses in the Bible have come to my mind this week that I hadn't really thought about them in the way that I thought about them this week.
Amen.
This young boy could have very well done everything right. It only takes one mistake.
Right.
I've heard about a lot of people. They only got one chance.
Right.
And others, it seems like they're bulletproof. They can have car wrecks.
Right.
Man, they can get shot. And some of them just keep on going. Others, I mean, just one little thing, they're out of here. I don't know. But this young boy here, to be in the condition he's in, there's some reason for it. And I look at the state of this man, and one of the things that I want to bring out, if you'll notice in verse 2, immediately. I mean, when Jesus come out of the ship, immediately there met him.
Yeah.
A man. There was a confrontation. Let me say this. I had a confrontation about 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. I hate to take the time to tell this, but this is probably a good place to throw it in.
Amen.
We had a good service in Bethel Baptist Church. I'm just a babe in Christ, just good and saved, love the Lord. We got home on Sunday night, Rita. I told my good wife, I said, "Honey, you go on to bed." At that time, we had 3 bedrooms upstairs and 3 bedrooms downstairs. We didn't need a house that big, but my wife thought we did. You know what I mean?
Amen.
No wonder the Bible says you hub and dwell in according to knowledge. Don't have more sense than that. But anyway,
amen.
I went upstairs, Carolyn, in those upper bedrooms, and she went to our bedroom, the same bedroom I got saved in April 27, 1988. Anyway, she went to bed like somebody with some sense. I went upstairs reading. I'm up there reading my Bible. And I was determined I was going to spend the night with the Lord. I'd read a while and I'd pray a while. And I'd pray a while and I'd read a while. And the night was fast going away, and I heard the birds outside singing. One thing about the birds, they know what to sing, and they know who they're singing about.
Yeah.
And they was out there singing pretty songs, fellas. And it sounds so good. I went over and I raised the window up, and I just I could hear the birds singing. And while I raised that window up, I looked outside, and I'm about 3 sheets of the Holy Ghost, Brother Danny. I looked outside, and I seen all them stars up there, and I said, "Lord, your word says the heavens declare your glory. And I said, Lord, what a glory you got on display tonight. And I'm still having an uproom experience. I go back and I'm praying and I'm reading. About that time, somebody knocked on the door downstairs. And I was not about to leave where I was. And I stayed up there and they kept knocking. And I said, I'm not going down somebody else. I mean, I'm having an uproom experience. I'm enjoying it. It's a good place to be. Didn't want to come down.
Right.
But unfortunately, this knock kept going. So I finally went down and opened the door. And when I opened the door, there was a petite, grandmotherly-type lady, hair all fixed up real nice, standing right there at my doorstep, and she said, sir, I'm selling cancer insurance. Would you be interested in any? Now, just imagine, Rita, I'm 3 sheets of the Holy Ghost. She asked me a stupid question like that, and her name was Sharon. And I said, Sharon, she told me her name, Rita, I know it, but she said, would you be interested? And I said, Sharon, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I said, it covers everything. I don't need no cancer insurance. Now, I don't know why she said what she said, but it may have been a sales pitch. I don't know. She said, sir, I perceive you're a Christian. And Miranda, I said, you perceive right, for so I am. She said, she stuck her hand out to shake my hand. I done read enough Bible to know that if any man extended the right hand of fellowship, he's supposed to take her by the hand. So I shook her hand. I done the unthinkable after that, Brother Jerry. I said, would you like to come into the house and get a glass of tea? That's stupid. Who in their right mind would invite someone in there? When you're 3 sheets in the Holy Spirit, you don't even think about what you're saying. That just came out. She said, sir, I'd love to. Now, Danny, pay attention real good right here. I'm 3 sheets of the Holy Ghost. I fixed this lady a glass of tea. And I said, Sharon, the Bible says if you so much as give a glass of cold water, in Jesus' name you'll receive a reward. I said, I give this glass of tea to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I don't do that anymore. It changed everything. Sharon's trying to drink this glass of tea. She tried one hand. She's spilling tea everywhere. She tried both hands, and I thought she was going to take a bath. I mean, she's throwing tea everywhere. She finally sets this tea down on the in the counter there. She goes and she falls over there by her kitchen sink. And she starts snarling and growling. Now, I have to admit, that's maybe the reason I ain't got no hair now. There was a lot of hair raised up on the back of my neck. I thought, this ain't good. My babies is in bed, my wife's asleep, and I've got a woman in my house that I don't even know, and she's over. I can't really do what she did. I never heard such sounds come from another human in my life. And I'm sitting there thinking, what do I need to do right here? And I done something else stupid. I went over and tapped her on the shoulder, and I said, are you all right? And when I did, she come up off of our kitchen counter, and she leaped on me. I'm talking about that old Brother Eddie. I'm 6'2", 210 pounds. I was very intimidated by a woman leaping on me. Not only did she leap on me like this right here, I can't gnash my teeth like she did because it'd break them out, but it sounded like a dog. Real loud, real hard. Gnashed her teeth and come down on me. What do I do? I conquered down over here. I'm in the corner. I ran if I could. There's no place to run. I got myself in the corner and here she comes down on me. I hunkered down. I'm thinking I'm fixing to be a dead man. I done read there in my Bible reading in Acts chapter 19 about 7 sons of one Cephas, the priest, that took it on themselves to cast out a devil. And that demon in that man said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?
Yeah.
God didn't give me any authority to do anything, and I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, I wish you would do something, though. Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this. This story did have a good outcome, kind of. For us, it did anyway. She didn't lay the hands on me. She come down on me, and I think the Lord maybe drew a line and said, that's mine, leave me alone. She ran out of our house. And tell me, she went out of our house. And I was glad to see her go out, but she turned around and come right back in. Now, me and my wife had prayed over our home that if any unclean spirit ever came, came in our house and it wouldn't be able to stay, it'd have to leave. Yeah. I encourage you to do the same thing. You never told nowadays what's going on in the world.
That's right.
So Miranda, she'd go out and she'd come in. She'd go out and she'd come in. She'd go out and she'd come in. I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to do here? About this time, my wife wakes up. She comes up the hall, rubbing her eyes, and here comes Sharon. My wife looked at her and she ran out. She said, what the heck's going on? I said, I don't know, but I'll pick and find out. Like I said, I've been read quite a bit of Bible by this time. And I'd already read about believe not every spirit confesses Christ, but try the spirits whether they're of God or not. For not every spirit confesses Christ of God. So I said, I'm going to try the spirit. It said, hereby know ye the spirit of Christ and the spirit of the Antichrist. Every spirit confesses Christ in the flesh is of God, and every spirit confesses not Christ in the flesh is not of God, but of the Antichrist, who I've told you, and even now it's in the world. That's how I'm going to try the spirit. That's what you're going to have to do, too, if this ever happens to you.
Yeah.
So remember what old Brother Eddie did right here.
Amen.
She came in my house, Brother Mitchell, and I said, Sharon, come here, I want to talk to you. So help me, she stopped immediately, like a robot, came straight to me. I pulled a chair out, she sat down, and I scooted her up to the table. I sat down right beside her. I truly cared about Sharon, I did. I didn't know what to do, but I truly cared. My wife, Brother Jerry, having sense, God gave a goose, she said, the other end of the table. And I said, Sharon, I said, are you sure you're saved? And she started answering me, Joanne, and she grabbed her throat, and she looked real funny, and the look was like, why can't I talk? She grabbed her throat like that, and she went, my wife, she said, honey, where do you go to church at? And again, Carolyn, she started to speak and grabbed her throat, looked real funny, and pointed to the flowers on the table. At this time, I sighed, I'd try the spirits. Rita, I said, Sharon, are you sure you're saved by the blood of Jesus? When I mentioned the blood of Jesus, Sharon pulled her dress, this elderly, grandmother type, petite woman, pulled her dress up over top of her head, and she screamed like a panther or something. I mean, I can't even do a shrill like that, but I mean, she screamed and kicked her chair back and run out of our house. This time she didn't come back in. She got in her car. I mean, burnt the road down. I didn't know this the next day, but less than a mile from our house, she totaled the car. My neighbor sitting on the front porch, he said she was going all that car could do. And he said to him, it looked like she's just trying to commit suicide. He said she just turned the wheel to the left. It ran into the bank. She went through the windshield, went out into the field. And she was in the hospital. Now, we'd burn a Ouija board. Well, let me say my wife did. We'd burn a Ouija board on a Saturday night. This happened on a Sunday night. I don't know if that had anything to do with this or not. I'll just tell you right now. But my cousin worked at Whitty's Record Service. He's the one who towed her car in. They brought her car up there at Whitty's. And her husband showed up to get the car. And my cousin, Barry, he said, yes, sir, mister, we got the car. And he said, well, I come to pick it up. And Barry said, well, sir, it's $40 record fee. And my cousin, he said, I've heard a lot of cussing. And he said, I never heard no cussing like that before. It embarrassed him, the words of his words this guy said. They had to lock this car up in behind the fence to keep this guy from stealing it. The reason I told y'all that right there is you'll have some confrontation. It may not be to that degree, but understand this, buddy, we ain't home, and there's a mad devil down here. Jesus had a confrontation, and it was immediately, and I'll tell you right now, buddy, I don't like confrontation, but I for sure don't like these confrontations.
Right.
Now, I had a confrontation yesterday. And I ended up having to call the police. That Ouija board we burned on that Saturday night, the young girl that it belonged to, my daughter, was the reason I had to call the police. Sometimes you just can't do nothing with it.
Right.
I realized I couldn't.
Amen.
I realized in the state of mind she is in, I'd love to help her.
Right.
I wish God said lay hands on her and cast that devil out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think she's got a devil? She asked me if I thought somebody saved could have a devil before all this come down. And I said, I don't think so, honey. Well, since then, I've kind of changed my mind.
Yeah. Right.
I told you I read some scriptures, but now they seem like they gave more meaning. So let me share those scriptures with you real quick here. Maybe you got something here that then you can add to this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter's talking about somebody saved. And starting in verse 20, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, he's talking about saved people. For if after they've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and after they have known it, to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Look at verse 22. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallering in the mire. That was washed to her wallering in the mire.
Yeah.
Look over here in Matthew 12. These scriptures had a little bit more meaning yesterday. Matthew 12, 43 through 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from which I came. I want you to know, you listen to that. I will return whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state, you remember that latter end Peter mentioned?
Yeah.
And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also under this wicked generation. I want you to know I've changed my mind about whether a Christian can be possessed. I've changed my mind on that.
Yeah.
You know, the best way not to have that problem, stay in church.
Yeah, that's right.
Ain't nothing the devil loves than you being weak.
That's right. Amen.
I know he's like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, next verse, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. The devil wants you. I'd stay in church. Right. I'd make sure my children stay in church.
Right.
I'd make sure that I don't put up, I have a vacancy to the devil.
Amen.
I want to be full of the Lord. I don't need no room for the devil.
That's right.
I want to stay occupied.
Right.
I want to say we have no room. No room for you, devil. I was wondering today, this is just speculation. I just wonder today how many people, like this man here, he made some kind of mistake. I don't know how he ended up in this condition. I don't. It doesn't really tell us. It just says that he lived in the tombs. Mm. That don't make no sense. Who would want to live among the tombs? Mm. Said he had his dwelling among the tombs. Says he had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could tame him. No man could bind him, not with chains. Listen, not only was there a confrontation, but someone that's saved is in that same state of mind. Mm-hmm. I seen it yesterday in my own eyes. I seen the difference in this person's eyes. This person just come out. You're trying to poison me. You want my life insurance, don't you? I said, I want my life insurance. I don't even sure she even got any. And I for sure don't want to poison her. I like to help her. But you see what I mean? Something happened to this guy.
Yeah, right.
Jesus made sure this got put in the Bible for our sake.
That's right.
Something can happen to you.
Yes.
How can I take measures to make sure it don't happen to me? Stay in church. Read your Bible. Yeah. Let that mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It said he was out of his mind.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus did put him back in his right mind. Mm-hmm. But you notice here it said in you have to go to Luke and get this, but Luke account of this, verse 27, mentions that he wore no clothes. Yeah. Now the police, they're familiar with all this. They know about all these circumstances. They've been trained by professionals.
Yeah.
But if you've watched any news at all, you've seen people that had no clothes on. They were out of their mind. One of them eat the face off of a homeless man. I'm telling you, they've had to shoot a lot of these people. They've just gone crazy.
That's right.
One of the first things, Brother Mitchell, they'll take their clothes off.
Right.
Something wrong about that. This man, Bible said he wore no clothes. Mm-hmm. Something happened, Brother Danny.
That's right.
I don't know how he was raised. I bet you some mama told him, you get your clothes on, you get them on now. That's what I'm thinking. Right. What my mama told me.
Yeah.
He said, you get back here and you put some better clothes on. Don't you go out like that. You're my boy. You know what I mean? You bust that behind all that stuff. And they're running around.
Amen.
You make sure they boys got something on, don't you? If they was trying to go out the house with no clothes on, you get them hair back there next thing. You get in here and put some clothes on. You ain't going out like that, would you?
You ain't supposed to come
well,
out of the
bathroom. Amen. I like that. Some authority in that, amen. I like that. Amen. I tell you what, I appreciate that. We need authority in the home. I tell you what, I'm overjoyed to hear that they ain't going nowhere that clothes on. Amen.
Right.
But you know what? This man had no clothes on. That's one of the signs of somebody that's out of their mind. If you watch any news at all, and I done mention this once, you'll see a lot of people, they'll be found. They're running down the road. They got not got a stitch on.
Right.
They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who they are.
Right.
And the police is following, thinking, "What do I need to do right here?" I'll tell you one thing: you better use some caution. But he wore no clothes. See, he's not in his right mind. He will be when Jesus gets down with him. But right now, he's not in his right mind. And like I said, police have been through training to handle these type of condition of these people. Luke 8:29 says he was driven of the devil. I preached a message one time, don't let the devil do the driving.
Yeah.
But he was driven of the devil. And just this week there was a man that drove an SUV through a mall.
Yeah.
And you know what they said about him?
Amen.
They said he was mentally ill.
Yeah.
See, nobody in their right mind takes down drives a SUV into a mall and takes off down the hall. They usually get one of them little electric cars and get on it and go down to the hall. But this man took his SUV, drove through the window, went down the hall, and people's and they're running and screaming. And he said he's mentally ill, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
See what I'm talking about? A lot of this stuff going on right now.
That's right.
Today we're having to deal with stuff like this.
Oh yes.
Another incident that just happened recently. There's a man locked himself in the bathroom of an airplane. And by the way, he was more than high up in the air. They said he was in there on cocaine. They couldn't do nothing with him.
Yeah.
He was just like an animal. He had to be caged and bound and subdued. But I just want you to know there's a lot of stuff going on in our day and time.
Right.
And this man here, he's a good example. His dwelling, verse 3, have you noticed lately these shirts, a lot of people wear, got a skull on them?
Yeah, right.
I went down to get the rest of a metal building that I'd bought down in Tennessee, and there was a big banner hanging up in front of this house, and it had a skull on it. I guess they're getting ready for Halloween, I don't know. But you know, his dwelling was among the tombs. He was comfortable being around, you know, representations of someone dead. I see them on cars. And I tell you what, you better not put a cross up.
No.
They'll come after you. They'll call you crazy.
Oh yeah. Right.
I know y'all can't see this, but this young boy right here got a picture of him here, and I'll leave if you want to see it. This guy, he's a street preacher now, but this track called How to Get Peace. Mm-hmm. See, this guy in his tomb. He ain't got no peace. He's cutting himself. He's crying night and day. He ain't got no peace. Night and day, I got peace. I mean, I got an ocean of peace. Yeah. I could be a donor. I've got more peace than I could ever use in this life.
Right.
This guy, he ain't got no peace at all. This guy, he's a street preacher now. Here's what he says. He said, when I was 22 years old, I stuck a 38 Smith & Wesson in my mouth and was going to commit suicide. He said, before this, I'd cut my wrist. I'd overdosed and passed out hundreds of times. He said, I hated life. These were just a few of the many events in my search for peace. I was raised in an atheist home. I was told there's no God, just the devil. By the time I was 16, I was a professed Satanist, reading Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible, addicted to heavy metal music, to speed, and he said music like Venom, Slayer, Metallica, etc. By the time I was 17, I was using drugs and searching for a way to escape reality and attain peace. And he did get saved. But it says here, when I was 21 years old, my girlfriend had our first child. God began to deal with me about my condition. For about a year, I tried with no avail. Life seemed hopeless. And he said, I was New Year's. He said, I was closing up the store, tired of my life. I wanted peace. He said, I turned off my music. I pulled out the gun, pondered hell in a movie he called The Unholy. For the first time in my life, I believed. I feared. It was at the end of 1991. I made a resolution I was going to find God. I can't read all of this for sake of time. But I'll tell you right now, God's searching for people like this.
That's right.
God has a cure for situations like this. Lives that are out of kelter. I want you to know Jesus came seeking this boy. Night and day, he's not only tormented, but praise God, night and day, I'm comforted. I've got the peace mentioned in Isaiah 26:3. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. You can have either one. You can have torment or peace.
Right. Amen.
But as bad as this man's condition was, praise God, Jesus came to where he was and delivered him. This man, no man could help him. And a lot of people, you know, my daughter that I mentioned, she's been through every program. They give her, I guess, all the medication on demand. I don't really understand her situation. She got saved. She's 18 years old. I mean, gloriously, wondrously saved. Read her Bible through several times. Loves the Lord. Loves church. Right now, she told me yesterday, I want to get back in church, Daddy. You tell me. Something happened to this man.
That's right. Amen.
Something happened to my daughter.
That's right.
Dismissing one time is all it takes. I remember hearing a story one time, Brother Jerry, about a couple. Man, they loved the Lord, got saved. Man, they was there every time a church doors open. And they missed one Wednesday night. And the next thing, they missed several Wednesday nights. Then they got to missing Sunday nights. Then they got to missing altogether. And the preacher got a letter from this man. He's in penitentiary serving a life sentence. And he told that preacher, he said, I just want to apologize to you for our mistakes. He said, it all started on a Wednesday night when we missed service. He said, my wife started having an affair with another man. I caught him. I killed them both. I shot them both dead. He said, I'm in prison now. He said, all I want you to do is tell them not to do what we did. Stay in church.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how quick it happened. Right. Something happened to this boy. Something got him in the condition he's in.
Yeah.
Something happened that nobody can do nothing with him. Something went wrong.
Right.
Something went terrible wrong.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
He's night and day in the tombs crying, cutting himself. But when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him.
Yes,
see, there's always hope.
Amen.
And the Lord, not only did he cast the devils out of him, but he's clothed and in his right mind. This is what bothers me. Now that this man's clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind, they're afraid of him.
Yeah.
What the heck? They had no problem with him out there in the tombs, naked, lying, naked, crying. Now they're afraid. That's verse 15 in Luke. Well, verse 15 in this chapter, and also Luke 8:35. Luke 8:35, it says, "Now the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes want Jesus out of their country." Luke 8:37 says, "That reminds me of the madness going on in America today."
Yeah, right.
You can't pray in that name Jesus. You can't mention that name Jesus.
Nobody wants to hear.
They're afraid.
Right.
Brother Mitchell, this man sitting clothed. He's in his right mind. Tell me they're afraid. Does that make any sense to anybody? Something's wrong here. Caused this guy to get in this condition, first of all.
Yeah.
Now something's wrong, Rita. They're afraid because he's clothed in his right mind.
Right.
That's kind of what's going on in America right now. Right. I know you know what I'm talking about. Some of us say amen about that.
Yeah.
Be a good place for one. That's what's going on in America. We're calling evil good. We're calling good evil. Get the book out. Get the Bible out of school. Get the name of Jesus out of school.
Yeah.
I want you to know Jesus did leave. But he didn't leave without leaving them a hellfire and brimstone preacher to let them know they needed Jesus. Luke 8:39, he said, "You go tell them." Now you're talking about one to tell them. If anybody could convince anybody of anything, this man right here will be an authority when it comes to telling somebody what Jesus could do.
Yeah.
He had the worst case scenario of someone Amen. That needed the Lord, and he could say, "Hey, what he done for me, he can do for you." Amen.
Right, man.
Woo!
Amen.
Brother Mitchell, Jesus said, "Who loved me the most?"
That's right.
He has forgiven a bunch. So he's been forgiven a little. Boy, some of them old rough sinners, they make pretty good Christians.
Yeah,
you get one of them good and saved,
amen.
I tell you what, buddy, they have more than extreme makeover. I'm telling you, buddy, you can't hide it, amen.
That's right.
Like amen. A reason, a little short somewhere, amen. But this man had a happy ending for him. I'm pretty concerned about the Gadarenes. Has anybody got any idea at all why they wanted Jesus to leave?
They didn't
want to
hear what he had to say.
I don't think they wanted no help.
That's right.
I think they thought they didn't need God. They could handle it. They couldn't handle this guy. Here Jesus is. He set him free.
That's right.
Now he's sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. I am seeing the same thing going on in America today.
Yeah.
As I prayed for America last night, his prayer meeting, I said, "Lord, help our leaders. Help them to admit we need the Lord. We need him back in not only Washington, we need him in the schools, we need him in the college, we need him in the home, we need the Lord more than ever. I'm telling you, it's out of control. It's 911 emergency. We need the Lord."
Amen.
There's no substitute for him. Like I said, I don't understand why they're afraid of this man now. I don't understand why they wanted Jesus to leave. I will tell you this. Jesus will come wherever he's welcome.
That's right.
He won't kick a door in. He'll knock.
Yeah.
At the door.
Right.
And he said, "If any man will open," he said, "I'll come into him and I'll sup with him."
Yeah.
"And he'll sup with me." Father, we thank you for this message today.
Yes.
Lord, how speaks volumes, Lord, to the day and hour we're living in. Lord, to the corruption that's going on in this very country that you raised up. This great country that stood 10 foot tall for God. That I believe through the poison of politics has been brought down to nothing. It's been crippled, Lord, today. Because, Lord, of evil and corrupt men, Lord, that just will not, they resist the truth. They will not receive the truth. They try to somehow twist the words. Somehow, Lord, they just need to repent royally. And They need to get right with God. Lord, I'm glad you're still on the throne. It encourages me to know that you're on the throne that's above every throne. To know that you have the final say, it encourages me. Help us, Lord, I pray. And all the things, Lord, that we've prayed about, I pray you'll help us, Lord, one day to finish our course with a good finish and say unto us, well done. Yeah. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Like to ask everybody stand. Like to ask Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon, please. Just one verse of invitation to him. I don't know how the word went to you today, but I hope it went to you well. I hope, if nothing else, you've been made awake, made aware. Things going on in our country. I'm sad to see the sad condition of our country, but I'm also encouraged to know that there's still hope for America. It hadn't ended yet.
Amen.